Let's pray a moment. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy once again. Lord, I think of that hymn, Lord, a thousand thanksgivings we bring, Lord, to thee. Lord, how many times can we thank you? And it wouldn't be enough, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that though for a moment in the garden, you hesitated even to the point of saying, Father, let this cup pass from me. I believe it was the human part of you. But then you said, thy will be done, not mine. And you went to that cross. You allowed them to nail your hands to that cross and nail your feet to that cross. You allowed them to put that spear into your side. And Lord, before that, you said it is finished. Thank you, Lord, that our salvation, the price for it was finished. It was paid for completely on that cross. We thank you for the day, Lord, that each one of us came to know you as our personal Lord and Savior, the day that you opened up each one of our eyes. Thank you for that day, Lord. Thank you for the assurance that we have of living in with you, Lord, in heaven for eternity. We look forward to that day, Lord. And some of us more eagerly than others. In Jesus' name. It's a... Is that me? What am I doing? Why don't you get a better mic? No, you couldn't. Anyway, let's try to see if it can. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 5. But in the meantime, I'd like to mention a couple of things. When our brother Jacob was sharing something up here, he always makes me think of something. And he always amazes me on how many people's names he can remember. The need that they have, the prayers, the need for prayers. excuse me. He remembers them. He remembers the hymns. Sometimes when I sit there and people, like on Wednesday night, excuse me, on Wednesday night when they have requests for prayers, I try to remember them. And there's not that many sometimes. And by the time we get to pray, I forget. So I have to say, Lord, you remember all the names, all the requests that were made. I'm very absent-minded. I'm glad that once I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that my salvation was complete. I'm glad I don't have to do it again and again. I wouldn't be able to remember the sins that I committed to ask him for forgiveness. So it just amazes me how God has brought, I don't give him credit for this, by the way. It's not that he's so smart, because he's not. It's that the Lord has gifted him with this gift to be able to remember things like that. And for that I praise him. For that I give praise to the Lord for the gift that you have, brother. Not many of us have it. So please remember me and my loved ones. When he mentioned that sometimes we're afraid of things that are going to happen to us, I guess in the moment, when I think of something like, if I knew that something was going to happen to me in the near future, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be afraid until that moment. Thank you. Thank you very much. Paul, could you give him a dollar, please? A dollar, give him a tip. Thank you, brother. That's another gift that people have. To be able to notice something. Not just to be able to notice something, but to notice something and do something about it. God has given gifts to many people. Something was mentioned to me just before the meeting started about a desire that people have to do things. We've prayed about it here. We've prayed that the Lord would open the doors for the neighbors to come here, for the Lord to touch their hearts. But the Bible says that people get saved when they hear the word of God being preached. And unless somebody goes out there and shares it with them and gives them an invitation, they're not going to come. People come to parties when they're invited. And we expect the Lord to touch people's hearts. But we're responsible for sharing the gospel. Like many people think that once they come to church, they're going to hear the gospel. I think it's the other way around. I think they should hear the gospel out there. And then once they're saved, to come here. Not that they can't come here and get saved, but to come here, that they might hear the ministry of the word and grow in Christ. So that they also, once they've grown a little, and some people don't even have to grow a little, sometimes as soon as they get saved, they want to go out and tell everybody, which I think is a glorious thing. And as far as going to heaven, some people, he said, even Christians would be afraid. I'm looking forward to it. As far as when he mentioned that if I knew that on February the 15th, I was going to go home with the Lord, that I wouldn't do anything, I would just, I don't know. I think I would want to, from what I understand about Scripture, I think I'd want to once again go out and start talking to everybody. I want my account up there to have more in it, whatever it may be, that account. I want that account to be full. But I know what it's like in the assemblies. We're like I heard somebody say this one time. It's like a cowboy, when the people first came to this country, and they went to the West. And I don't know if you've heard the expression. I heard it a few times because of watching cowboy movies. Go West, young man, go West. Go explore. Be a pioneer. A that somebody would go to the West and start a town, start a farm, or build a house, and then somebody else would go, and little by little, to make a long story short, they would end up having a little town, and a general store, and a church, and even a mayor. And they would make that little town their settlement. And then somebody would come along and say, well, come on, let's go someplace else. Let's go west. Let's go farther west. And many of the people, if not all of them, would say, no, I'm happy right here. I got everything I need right here. I got the general store. I got the little schoolhouse. I got my house. I got the church. I have everything I need. Sometimes I feel that the assembly is like that. When we come here, and I'm not trying to I hope nobody gets offended by what I'm saying. Sometimes I get that feeling. And I'm guilty of this too. Because even though I share Christ with people outside, I carry tracts that I take from the board out there and I give them out. I leave them on counters, I give them to people personally. And it's amazing how many people say, thank you very much. Even the people at McDonald's and at Dunkin' Donuts, where I stop every Sunday and I get my little sandwich in the morning with my coffee, and then I stop at Dunkin' Donuts to get the donuts for the kids and for the adults. They say thank you when I give them the tract. And as I go away, I say, Lord, bless that tract. May it touch their hearts. And I don't know if it'll happen now or later. And I don't know if it really will take effect in that person's life. Maybe that person will just leave it on the counter next to them because they won't be interested. But the next employee may pick it up. The Lord does things with those little pieces of paper. I don't know if you share that also. If you don't, I'd like to encourage you. Please. Maybe you can't. Maybe you don't have the, I'll say, gift to talk to somebody about Christ. But you can. Give them a little tract. Even if they give you a dirty look and say, no, thank you. When that happens, that might hurt you. It hurt Jesus when people turned away from him. When people turned away from him, it hurt Jesus. But you have an opportunity to pray for that person. You can walk away saying, Father, they turned it down. But you are a God of mercy. Just like you have mercy on me, you can have mercy on them. This has nothing to do with Acts chapter 5. But I just felt that I wanted to share that. And our brother made me think of it. I look forward going to heaven. I'm anxious to get to heaven. I don't have to see my children. Well, they've all grown up. But when they were young, I felt the same way. I used to say I don't have to see my children grow up. Once they grew up, my grandchildren grew up. And then my great-grandchildren grew up. I think I just had another one. Well, I didn't have it. My grandchild had it. We can have many descendants. They can all, as much as we love them, the day is going to come where they're going to walk away from us. They're going to start their own family. They'll have their own problems. Hopefully you taught them enough about the gospel so that when they have those problems, they'll turn to Jesus. But the one thing that's true, as scripture teaches, Jesus will never, never leave us. So as much as I love my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, I don't love them as much as my children, because I don't really know them. But I love Jesus more. I look forward to going to be with Jesus. I hope you're understanding most of what I'm saying. It would take me too long to translate it into Spanish. Yep, good, good. This guy's got some beautiful white hair. I can't get over it. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Excuse me. Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and they brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. They did this because other Christians were selling things and bringing money and giving it to the apostles so that the other people who got saved, who were going hungry and losing their homes, so that they would have something to eat. But this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, saw what they were doing, so they decided to sell one of their possessions. Verse 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. And so great was that came upon all those, so great was the fear that came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter Peter asked her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her with her husband. And so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. There's a story about two people, a couple, a husband and a wife, who evidently made professions of faith. They had become Christians, like a few others. And during that time, many of the people that got saved were Jewish people. And if you got saved being a Jew, your family rejected you. They threw you out. You ended up out in the street. No place to live, no place to get anything to eat, no place to keep warm. So what happened? You went to the church. You went to those who knew what it was about. You went to the apostles. And the other ones that were there, excuse me, were selling possessions that they had so that they could help the newcomers, the new believers. That happens even here. Praise the Lord at Grace Gospel Chapel. When we get somebody who is a believer and comes to this place and they're in need of help, financial help, that's what happens here. They get financial help. They get personal help too. Anyway, Sapphira and Ananias, they said, well, I could just picture Ananias saying to, honey, you see what the other Christians are doing? We have possession, we have property. Maybe we should sell some of our property and give it to the church also. I could see his wife saying, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that. And they sold a piece of property, whatever it was. So far, it's not a bad idea. They're doing the right thing so far. But then something went wrong. Ananias and Sapphira, after selling the piece of property, saw how much money they got. I think it was a considerable amount. Because when it came to the point of where they had said, we're going to sell something and do what the others did, the others gave everything that they had received for the property that they sold, they gave it to Peter or the church to help other Christians. Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold their property, whatever it had been, and I know that this happens to people, it happens to Christians. When it comes to money, something happens to us. They sold their property. And if it was in our money today, say $10,000, they decided, well, you know what? $10,000 is a lot of money. Maybe we could give them just $5,000 or maybe $8,000 and we'll keep $2,000. And it's amazing to see this happening. Sometimes I read these things and I say, that's me, he's talking about me. And I could think about some people that I know. And I'm sure there are some people out there, or maybe even in here, that say, hey, that reminds me of Jay. That makes me think about Jay. And by the way, you've heard the expression, my brother's keeper. And I seriously mean this. If you ever see me or hear me doing something wrong, don't keep quiet about it. Please come and tell me. That's your responsibility as my brother or my sister in the Lord, is to come and tell me so that I might. Don't just pray for me. Come and tell me. Please, Ananias and Sapphira kept back part of their money and brought most of it, or a portion of it, excuse me, to Peter. And it's amazing. I'm going to read the words again. Verse 3, But Peter said, Ananias, and I want you to pay attention, close attention. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan, notice who was the originator, notice who started it. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Notice who Peter says he's lying to, the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. Verse 4, while it remained, while they still had it, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? After they sold it, the money was theirs. They could do what they wanted with the money. They could keep it all, give it all. It says, why have you conceived in your heart? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. First, he says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he says, you lied to God. You lied to God. The Trinity. We don't find the word Trinity in Scripture, as we have heard said so many times, but we find the teaching of the Trinity. Here are two of them, the Holy Spirit and God the Father. Verse 5 says, then Ananias fell. When he heard these words, fell down and breathed his last. Praise the Lord that that doesn't happen today. Praise the Lord that when we tell those little lies, or when we think our little bad thoughts, or think about cheating, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a really bad thing. When we know we should do something good and don't do it, that's a sin. That's what happened here. Ananias and Sapphira said they were going to do something good, but then they changed their minds. And it wasn't the money. It wasn't the money. It was the lie. The lie that they told Peter. And we see the results of that lie. And again, I say, praise the Lord that this doesn't happen today. No sooner did Peter say this to Ananias, he fell down and died. And when his wife came in, watch out, wives. You're responsible too. Peter asks her, tell me. Almost like saying, how much did you get for the property you sold? Was it $8,000? And she said, yeah. That's a lot of money. Peter could have said, hey, thank you. In fact, if they would have said, we sold it for 10, but here's 8. Peter would have said, praise the Lord, that's great. We could do a lot with $8,000. They lied. What caused them to lie? They sold a piece of property, one piece of property. They had more. And when they sold it, they got a good amount. They kept back part of it and brought the rest to the apostles. That's still okay, everything is good there. But when they decided to lie, both of them decided to lie, that's when God got upset. Again, I say, praise the Lord, that he doesn't act like that anymore. He doesn't punish us like that anymore. I read another portion of scripture when it talked about when you're raising your children, if you have children that are disobedient, and this took place in the Old Testament, you had children that were disobedient, and I was disobedient to my parents many times. And I had children that were disobedient. I was one of those parents that physically spanked my children. I didn't think at that time that it was wrong, and today I don't think that it's wrong. But what scripture said, you have a child that's disobedient, that won't listen to you, and you try and try, and they don't listen, bring that child to the elders. This is what it says in the Old Testament, in the Word of God. Bring that child to the elders in the town and gather the people around also and stone the child to death. That's our God of love, saying this. Our God, the same God, that is a merciful God, that at the appropriate time, when the time came, he sent his son to die for me and for you. We're like that disobedient child. We could have been stoned to death. But God, in his mercy, chose not to do that. But back then, that's what he said. Now, there's nothing in scripture that says that that was ever done. Not that I could find, anyway. But it is stated, that's what God said should be done. When I first read that, I started to cry. And I couldn't believe that the God that has saved me, the God that was so merciful to me, after the things that I had done, was that kind of God. I had trouble believing it. I went to the elders. Not that same night, Sunday. And I asked them about it. How can that be? That the God that's so merciful, that he would send the God, the Son, God the Son, to die for somebody like me. I wasn't just disobedient as a child. I was very disobedient as an adult, because I knew he wasn't my father then, but he was still God. I knew of all the commandments that I was breaking day after day after day. And yet he was merciful to me. Hallelujah. But look at what happened to Sapphira and Ananias. Because of a little lie. Does that sound funny? A little lie? Would it be better if I said a big lie? There's no such thing as a little lie or a big lie. God said, thou shalt not bear false witness. He didn't say anything about a little lie or a big lie. It's like when you steal something. When you teach your children not to steal. And it's a silly example. But let's say you put a quarter on the kitchen table and a $100 bill on the kitchen table. Do you sing? Well, don't steal the $100. But it's okay to steal the quarter. That's a little, you know, stealing a little bit. Human beings have petty theft and grand larceny. But God doesn't do it that way. He teaches us that we should not steal, period. That we should not lie. That word lie, if you look, in the New Testament, there's no time now, and I don't know where it is. I'm pretty sure Jacob, well, I shouldn't say I'm pretty sure because they may not know. But there's a place where it talks about how God is not going to let adulterers or whoremongers or drunkards, and he mentions a whole bunch of people that are sinners, all kinds of sins. They're not going to be able to go into heaven. Well, among all those whoremongers and drunkards and murderers is the liar. That liar is in there too. That's why we don't like it when our children lie to us. That's the hurtful part. Sometimes we would allow them if we knew that what they did was wrong. But if they told us when we said, "Did you do this?" If they admitted it, because we loved them, we most likely would forgive them and say, "Don't do it again." But if they lie to us, that makes what they did worse. Wouldn't it have been better if Ananias, when Peter asked, "Is this what you got for it?" If they would have said, "Well, actually, no, Peter, we got more. But, you know, it was a lot of money, so we figured we'd give you 8,000 and keep 2,000. No problem. Go home. We can do a lot with $8,000. I'm pretty sure Peter would have been satisfied. And I'm sure the Lord would have been satisfied. But that little life, that little lie, caused both their lives. And it says at the end that the people feared. And I think that that was the purpose of their lives being taken. So that the people would fear. That they would say, "I'm not going to do what they did. Here, take the whole thing." Or I sell something and I say, here's 75%. Here's 35%. I'm keeping the rest. That they wouldn't say, that's the whole thing. May we be honest with the Lord and with each other. May we do the right thing. When somebody does something for us, we should do the right thing for them. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time, Lord.